Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. I'm Tracy Newport. It's a downfall of all. A downfall of all. If I could just speak, that'd be great. And with me, as always, are my brothers in arms, Ben, David, and Gabe. How are you guys doing tonight, gentlemen?
Feeling desensitized.
I'm just sitting over here under the gaslight, just waiting for things to happen.
Mean, you and I were both taken by flames, so, well, good one.
Indeed.
So yeah, tonight is my choice for the month of March, and I have chose X Hoarder's newest release, the Defectum Omnium. Mr. Lindsay, do you have some
I
information
do.
for
I do
us?
have some stuff for you. This is their fourth full-length album, released on March 8th of 2024 on Nuclear Blast Records. Runtime, 54 minutes and 16 seconds. The lineup is Pat O'Brien on lead guitars, Kyle Thomas on vocals and rhythm guitars, Jason Veerbrooks on bass, Sasha Horn on drums. They did bring in some guest guitarists to lay down some leads, Rick Wartell, Bruce Franklin, and Anton Evil Goat. Which I add parenthetically, it's a great name. And
Amazing.
I am not sure who the producer was, but Jens Bogren did the mixing and mastering along with Tony Lindgren.
Sounds like something you would do.
So yeah, if you remember about a year or two ago, we covered Exhorder's Mourn in the Southern Skies, which was
We
their
did.
first release in like 27 years. And they had a quicker turnaround of 5 years for this one. So, a band that was super influential in Pantera always deserves a spot here on Thunderdome, I believe. And so, I feel like they should be talked about. I really didn't know where this album was going to go after that last album we did with them, because I feel like that last album had like 27 years of just, I guess, full piss and vinegar built up behind it that kind of came out with kicking and screaming. And this one, I feel like, while solid in its own right, it feels like it kind of comes not as graphic, not as angry, a little slight bit. Like it just feels just coming from a different like point than that one does.
Well, I will agree with you that it doesn't have 27 years of like build up to it, or 27 years of built up resentment or anger or whatever emotions that went into the recording of that last album. But I'd say that they're still pretty angry. I'd say they're still pretty
Oh
worked over
yeah.
with stuff. You're
Me
like,
too.
this is, I mean, like in the album that we're doing after this,
Oh
not no
yeah.
spoilers, is pretty angry too. But I think this is the angriest of the night. Though not as focused. I will say that it does feel a little less focused
And
than
that might
the
be a better
previous
way of saying
album.
it. Like it just like that one, more of the Southern Skies kind of felt like a laser point. This one's kind of more of like a buckshot kind of blast pattern to it.
And then also it's interesting because, like, I know these guys are credited with influencing Pantera to do groove metal or creating groove metal themselves, however you want to put it. Not a whole lot of groove on this album. This was pretty, I didn't think anyway. I see David's face. This
I
was
agree.
pretty well thrashy, just straight up
Yeah,
thrash, in my opinion.
that's what I thought too. There were some, but no, I
Yeah.
thought it was pretty straight thrash.
And I'm here for straight thrash, so that didn't break hurt my feelings or anything. But I think honestly, this album is entirely too long. I think there was a natural end spot. Yeah, everybody's laughing, but I do like it's almost an hour, and there was a natural end spot, like 8 tracks in, that I was like, oh, this would be the perfect ending place for this album, and they just kept going for more songs. And those songs are okay. It's not like they're bad, but I just, and maybe it has to, that has to do more with sequencing than the actual length of the album. But
Maybe.
I think the Defectum Omnium Stolen Hope, Three Stages of Truth, Lacing the Well, double whammy of 14 minutes is like a speed bump a little bit. And I'm not opposed to EPs hidden in albums. Ben has talked about this before, but it's The pacing of it was a weird, an interesting choice to me. I don't know why they're both. I'm not sure why either exists, but I guess it would look even sillier if we had 16 tracks or whatever, or 14 tracks. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I thought some momentum was lost there, because to have two of those that have like a long sort of kind of ponderous orchestral, like one after the other, I don't know. Maybe just one of those songs. And again, I do not want to rag on this album. This album was cool and fun, and they're really pissed off, and I like thrash. So I was here for this, but yeah, I think I did like the first one a bit more. That's the second time this happened tonight.
Yeah.
Though this one is, I think, a little closer.
Yeah, naturally, I can't do anything other than look at this one through the prism of the last one that we reviewed, which was a very different record to my mind. As much as there was thrash on that record, and as much as, you know, there is groove on that record, and there were, let's say there were slower moments on it, which you could call sludge, maybe you could call them groove or whatever you wanted to call them. But one thing that kind of strikes me about this is that when it gets a little bit slower, but also just in the vocals in general, they seem to be going for some Alice in Chains vibes. And this guy is, you know, he's a lot of things, but he ain't Layne Staley, like by a long shot. That's not a problem. It's just that it doesn't always work with what they're trying to do with thrash stuff. Because Alice in Chains, you know, to my mind, is not really a thrash band. But they made it work somehow because of the way that they wrote songs and how, you know, Layne Staley was able to fit in that mix. I think that this could use a little bit more sludge juice, and that would kind of maybe break up the monotony a little bit. And I think that the last record also had, it had thematic, but also like musically thematic kind of Southern elements. This doesn't really have that per se. Like, you can't really feel that coming through any of the compositions. And I think that it gave it some spice, right? It gave that last record some variety that this record just doesn't have. And that record, as a result, also had a much better sense of melody. Like, there was a lot more melodic things going on. This guy, when he's singing, he's often not singing directly, like, you know, on top of those chords. He's just kind of like, you know, and it's like, there is like a time and place for that, but it's like, it's, I don't know, like, it just doesn't do it for me all the time. Like, you've got to like hit the, I don't know, sing a note in the chord at least some of the time. Or like, I don't know. Like, if you're gonna sing tones, right? You're
exactly maybe,
yeah. So it's a very different record. It's just, I'm not really sure what to do with it.
Brown tea.
No, I agree with what came in there. And him saying just a little more sludge in here. Like, there are songs in here, like, if Kirk Weinstein would have done it, like, if he just would take, like, a couple of, like, just send some notes, like, hey, check this out, Kirk, what do you recommend? And he's like, yeah, just add a little sludge here and this and this. I'm like, I add a little touch here. Like, a Kirk's, for a couple of these tracks, I think would have made them amazingly great for some of the stuff, like, just kind of, and fit along with what you would see with Crowbar kind of well. But I do think they do their heavy parts really well here as well. As well. And I kind of like their slower moments. It almost reminds me a bit of the slower moments off of the Great Southern Chin Kill, like Suicide in a Bottle of Pills kind of thing. Like, some of them, like, and I wasn't a big fan of when Pantera did it either. Like, just some of them were just like, it misses a little bit. But now that Gabe mentioned it, those slower moments with a touch of sludge would have been like the mea culpa for it. I think would have been just a nice additions and changes to it, just a little bit. Well, David's got this look on his face like, you didn't use that word right.
Shut up! I know, it's not. I had decided to move on as a person past it while still making a face. Apologies. Yes.
I think that there are moments of sludge here. I think what happens, though, and David has already pointed this out, is they're kind of confined to the back end. Defectum, Stolen Hope is sludgy, you know, and Three Stages of Truth, Lacing the Well. There's some sludginess in there too, but it's spread out and then it's all clumped together. And I think it needed to be distributed a little bit more through the album.
Yeah. I mean, The Tale of Unsound Minds is an entire sludge song with that could use a little more sludge in it just to kind of.
Yeah.
It was like a Doom song that could have been turned into sludge and that would have made it fit.
I'm cool with Doom too, so I mean that was okay, you know. And it's and really it. I'll go back to saying that this album just isn't as focused as the one from 2019. I still think this is good, and you'll see that in my grades. And it was still an enjoyable listen. It just doesn't grab the brass ring in a way that album did.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I just love how you opened up like this. Damn, runtime getting in the way of a good album.
Well, it does, man. It sure can do it.
Yeah.
Nothing fucks up a good 30-minute album like it being an hour. So, so. Tracks, my friends.
Sticks, my poison.
I'm going to hit you with... I think it has a great 1-2 punch there to begin with. With Wrath of Prophecies Under the Gaslight. I would also recommend for a little bit of the slower stuff on the album. The Tale of Unsound Minds is a good 5-minute track. I agree with David in the sense that the Defect of Omnium, Stonehold, Three Strangers of Truth, and Lacing the Well are feel like speed bumps the album. Because once you get past those and move into Sedition, I feel like it's a pretty good, like, nice closing three song arc right there at the end to kind of tie everything up with a bow. It's just getting through, I know I'm the one for longer tracks, but getting through that 14-minute like run there for two tracks just kind of just does kind of off-put it a little bit when everything else around it's 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a momentum killer, especially just the nature of those tracks. I think we could have done with one of them, maybe. I still like a fair amount of these songs. I agree with the 1-2 punch argument. Tale of the Unsound Minds, like that. You're the Goat, that song's fun and cool. I like that song. As I said, 8 and 9 were a little difficult for me, that sort of 1-2, 1-2. Sedition and Desensitized are okay. Your 6 is okay. But I think I like some more things on the first half of this record. And You're the Goat was my favorite. This album cover is pretty fucking cool, too. Skeletons eating faces, y'all. Party like it's 1781.
So I think that if this album had ended at a Defectum Omnium and Stolen Hope, that my grade would be much better. And it's not that the tracks after that are bad necessarily. I just do think it fucks up the flow enough that I didn't enjoy them as much as I did the stuff that was earlier on the album. But I think the first, 8 tracks are all pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add. I think that as it is, it's a really good run, Three Stages of Truth all the way to the end. But maybe that's just me. I just like, you know, tracks here and there. Tale of Unsigned Minds is really great. You're the Goat is awesome. But yeah, maybe if they had cut it down a little bit, it would have helped. Maybe if they had thrown in some more sludge juice where it counted.
We will never know. So what's your grade, Tracy? Tracyfus?
This one's a little tough. I think I'm going to give it a BB+, like an 87.5. Like, I enjoyed the album overall. I'm going to definitely come back to it by the end of the year, but I just feel like it's just slightly off kilter compared to kind of what I was hoping to come into for the year kind of deal. And I feel like it just 87, like it's a good album, but it just slightly off.
I'm only going to come up half a point to an 88. I think this is a B+. I liked it. It was fun. It was a little long. So I would trim it a tiny bit. And I didn't like it quite as much as the first one, but it's a solid B+ to me. I enjoyed this.
All my bitching aside, it's a B+.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give this an 86.
That's a tight spread, y'all. 86 to 88.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of tight spreads tonight.
You're a tight spread. Sheep. Manager.
Yeah.
Person.
Alrighty. Would we buy this album? I think that's the basis.
Yeah.
The strength of the 2019 one, I would have bought this album. Just to...
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. Sure. I would have been slightly disappointed. Only because it's not as good as the other one, but I would still buy this album.
Yeah. Alrighty. Gabe, would you buy this one?
Yeah, I'd buy it. I mean, I would have bought it on the strength of that other one that I heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That leaves us with the final track for this night's recording session, our final album. And it is an off threatened by David band, but Gabe picked it for him. I wonder if there's some money changed hand under the table on that end.
I inflated Convergence grades, I admit it.
Yeah. So Gabe did you the solid. And it is Ministry's new album, Hopium for the Masses.
Goddamn white trash.
I picked it just for you, Tracy.
Indeed.
Just for you.
I know.
We hope you enjoy it.
Just want to see me squirm. That's all it was.
All these
jokes because. On you. Ha ha.
All these broken because just for Tracy.
Ha 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 ha.
All right. Join us next time.
Thunderdome Metal Reviews. Broken because.
Because.